And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? Who said, Seven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. If I were to ask you what the seven loaves of bread in today's gospel symbolize, what would be your guess? The seven sacraments, the Holy Eucharist, of course. Well, with either of these, you would be right. That's what I had always thought as well. But as I was researching, I was pleasantly surprised to learn that because seven in Scripture is a number that means perfection or wholeness, entirety, think there are 7 days, an entire week, that it symbolizes the Holy Ghost who perfects all things. And the seven loaves symbolize as well the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. You might or might not know this, but I just recently finished a priest's retreat out in Seattle. It was on the topic of the Holy Ghost and the seven gifts. There we were reminded that the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost perfect the virtues. Think of the apostles before Pentecost and after Pentecost. Before Pentecost, certainly they were quite virtuous. They had to be. They followed our Lord and remained with him through many hard times. They had a certain understanding of Christ's teachings, but didn't quite get the whole picture. And it took them a long time and several rebukes from our Lord. But on Pentecost, just as soon as the Holy Ghost descended upon the apostles, everything in an instant clicked. Everything. They understood perfectly what our Lord had been talking about for those 3 years. Everything made sense. They were no longer fearful. Rather, they were set on fire with a zeal that knew no bounds. Now, with the virtues, there is always some human limitation, even the supernatural virtues. For example, with the virtue of courage or of fortitude, which enables us to endure hardships and to take on hardships, still, we must be guided by prudence. It would be presumptuous to take on what is too much for us. Sacred Scripture says, with what is too much for you, meddle not. So, for example, we wouldn't, like so many of the saints who had the gift of the Holy Ghost, we wouldn't presume to expose ourselves to martyrdom. We would accept it only if God showed that we are to be martyrs and there was no escaping it. But to go out and poke the lion and make it attack you, as some of the saints did, would be a bit presumptuous because it is beyond our strength. But the gift of fortitude has something more to it. It has the strength of God as its limitation, not the strength of man. So that St. Paul could really and truly say, I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Now, if you were to say that, do you really believe that you could, with the virtue of fortitude, not the gift, the virtue, do all things? Well, how many times have you tried and failed? But he was talking about the gift of the Holy Ghost. I can do all things in him who strengthens me because I now possess the strength of God and not of Paul. Now the gifts, they raise us to new levels of holiness because they enable us to see things through God's eyes, to understand with God's understanding, and to be strong with God's infinite power. The gifts render us docile to all of God's inspirations and make all things in the practice of virtue both easy and sweet. That is why when you look at the lives of the saints, the canonized ones, they made everything look so simple, like it was that they lived a sweet life, even though they had so many crosses to bear. But by the gifts of the Holy Ghost, we as well make very fast progress in the spiritual life. Now, in the gospel today, we see the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, like a very loving father, has compassion on the people, and he sat them down and provided food for them. This reminds me of the gift of piety. Now, when I say piety, you might think of someone who just loves to spend all day in church and to pray, or some lady who at home prays for several hours in the morning and then several more at night. But the gift of piety is much more than that. To understand the gift of piety better, you must first understand the church's teaching on baptism and our adoption. Not everyone in this world is part of God's family. It is only through baptism that we become sons of God by adoption and therefore part of God's family. Christ, he is the only natural son of God. But by baptism, you and I have all become adopted sons of God, so that you can call Christ's Father your Father. The Father, he has taken us into his home and family, the church. Christ becomes our brother, and we become heirs to all the possessions of God. Our Heavenly Father takes us in and treats us not as slaves, but as his children, so that we can truly say, think of it, we can truly say with our blessed Lord, our Father, our Father, with Christ. Now this thought opens up a whole new perspective on things in the world and makes this veil of tears a little bit less cold and a lot more bearable, because we begin to see and to believe that God is our Father, not a tyrant, that everyone that you see, those people you pass in the airports, the people you pass on the streets, in the sidewalks, no matter who they be, they are either your brothers in Christ, or they are people who are meant to become sons of God and our brothers. This gift of piety, it fills us with a tender and filial confidence in God as our Father, and a love for our neighbor as meant by God to be our brother in Christ. It makes us prompt and joyful in doing everything that pertains to the love of God and the love and help to our neighbor. It pushes, in other words, it pushes us to do with promptness and holy joy whatever is for the worship and service of God and all that is dear to him. We speak an awful lot about Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus here, don't we? Well, bear with me today, but Saint Teresa's little way of spiritual childhood, it begins to make a lot more sense when it is understood that it was all inspired by the gift of piety. Now, the next time you read about it and you start thinking that it's a bunch of a pious fancy of a little girl, sentimental thoughts and all the rest, understand that it was all inspired by the Holy Ghost under the gift of piety. She always viewed God as her father and herself as his daughter. She saw in each one of the sisters in her convent a spiritual sibling, and so helped them in whatever charitable way she could, even going out of her way to help those she disliked the most, because in them she saw a child of God, and for the sake of her father, she would love that child. In simpler words, the gift of piety, it is an all-consuming, urgent joy to do everything we can for God and neighbor. And the fundamental idea in the gift of piety is this: it is an overwhelming appreciation of God as our Father, and the joyful effort on our part to love Him as a child loves his father. A child, at least when he gets a little bit older, is very much concerned with his father's honor. If you began speaking poorly about my father, you better believe I would defend my father's honor. The same with all the soldiers of Jesus Christ. They will stand up for their father's honor. And they will take to heart all the things that the Heavenly Father loves. And we begin to see the world as God sees it, and to love it as God loves it, and it makes us interested in our Father's business. What is this Father's business? We hear that in the fifth joyful mystery of the Rosary. Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Well, the business of the Father is this: the fulfillment of Christ's prayer, "Thy kingdom come." It is the business of souls. He wants everyone in the whole world to be a part of his family, to be converted and through baptism become sons of God. Now, we are taught that through the gift of piety, we love and respect everything that our Father holds dear: the saints, especially the Blessed Virgin Mary, the poor souls in purgatory. They are his children too. So we relieve their sufferings so that these poor children can go home to their Father in heaven. But we must not forget that the Father holds dear the Church, the Catholic Church, which his Son founded for the salvation of souls. Loyalty to the Catholic Church is something which all the saints had in common. The holier the saint, the greater was his loyalty to the Church. And the greater his loyalty to the Church, the more holy the saint became. Take Pope Pius X as an example. You know of all the measures he took against the modernists. Well, you might be tempted to think that it was the gift of fortitude that moved him to do all of those things, to take all of those harsh measures. But actually, it was the gift of piety that moved him to take the harsh measures he did against the modernists. They, the enemies, were threatening to destroy his father's house. The modernists were robbing God, his father, of his children, souls. The modernists were doing all that they could to tear down and to destroy his father's business, and he was not going to stand around and let it happen. He would stand up for the honor of his father's, for his father and the Church. And as a loyal son, he began defending his father's possessions and his father's honor. There was to be no compromise. He said, you know this very well, he said that the modernists should be beaten with fists. And there's a famous Sodalitium Pianum, that is a whole system he had in place of priests all over the world who monitored clerics who were suspect of modernism. And these priests were to report to him. There's a famous story of the modernist priest. He was a rector of a seminary in New York who was teaching modernism, I believe. And it was the days before phones were invented, so they could wire something and it would take a while. But Pope Pius X, hearing about this man teaching modernism, he sent a direct wire all the way from Rome to New York with the message, "You are fired." And that's how he treated the modernists. And that is how they deserve to be treated. Because why? They are destroying our Father's home. They are destroying and harming our Father's children. This is all motivated by the gift of piety, what Pope St. Pius X did. But to conclude, the practice of our religion and our service of God, it all becomes a lot easier and a whole lot sweeter when we're prompted by the gifts of the Holy Ghost. We begin to see God as a Father, no longer a tyrant. We begin to truly love and see things as God does, and we truly begin to take an interest in the business of our Father, the business of saving souls, and it all becomes a joy to us. So, sons of God, soldiers of Jesus Christ, today ask the Holy Ghost to give you those 7 loaves of bread, to stir up the 7 gifts of the Holy Ghost in your soul. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.